today on Real Radio.
You'll know if God's calling you because he will never move you to a spiritual detriment. He will never move you to a spiritual downsizing. If God calls you to the shores of Maui, it will be because it is the next step of growth for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's episode, Pastor Jack and I have something pretty special to tell you about. Pastor Jack, I've been to Israel with you a few times, actually, and for me, it was a life-changing event. Tell me a little bit about what's coming up.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, you've lived it. You've done this with us. We're going to be going again on our annual trip to Israel. The dates are March 24th to April 4th, 2019. And you're right. It is a life-changing. How about this? It will not only change your life. I often describe it as your Bible becoming Technicolor. It's going to be unreal.
So what are the dates?
The dates are going to be March 24th to April 4th, 2019.
So, Pastor Jack, specifically, what are we going to see in Israel?
Well, we're going to be going to key teaching sites, key historical sites. Listen, we're going to be going to some sites because you can't go to Israel without going to sites that relate to the future. We're going to be going to the Valley of Armageddon, for example. We're going to be going to Mount Carmel. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to be going, of course, to Jerusalem. And again, in all of these locations, Bible studies, and we're going to be having a time of our life. My good friend, longtime, lifelong friend, Amir Sarfati of Behold Israel is going to be with us. And we're just going to have the greatest time of watching our Bibles once again come to life.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Yeah, listen, for me as a believer and as a pastor, as a Christian, I love stressing in the various sites that we visit that we're standing in the fact that the Bible is open. Church, friends, our faith is founded upon fact, and I can't stress enough that experiencing that in Israel, in the location, with Bible open, will transform your life.
So how do I get more information?
You can get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And just click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019.
So can the folks sign up right away?
Signups are going to be on a specific day. So everybody mark your calendar right now. Signups will be on a specific day, Saturday, August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time. That's when the computer, as it were, will open up the website and it will be automated. When you go to the website, it's going to put you in there as you sign up, first come, first serve, because praise God, we have a national interest in this and space is limited. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. I'm sure that's going to be an incredible trip. So now let's jump into today's episode of Real Radio. Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 3, continues a series called the Book of Acts. Now, the Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus, who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In Part 1 of A Witnessing Church, we were introduced to the Apostle Stephen, a man full of faith, power, and wisdom. In Part 2, we saw how, like Jesus, Stephen shared the message of salvation both in love and compassion. Now in Part 3 from Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 37, Stephen will confront the high priest council in Jerusalem, and he'll do it by comparing their refusal to accept Christ as the Messiah to all the other times that Israel rejected those who God had sent to deliver them. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the witnessing church that moves in power has the Holy Spirit as its instructor. And like he did for Stephen, the Holy Spirit will put into us what he wants us to say. It's all in God's perfect timing. And now, in his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew chapter 4, you can jot it down in your notes, verses 18 to 19. It says there that Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the very call to salvation that was given to Peter and Andrew And the very same statement, Jesus made the announcement that if you come to me and follow me, I will make you fishers of men. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Mark's account of it, Mark says, when Jesus spoke, he said, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The word make in the Greek language is I will shape you and mold you into salted men. Fishers of men in the Greek is the word that is implied here, salted men, salted fishermen. And isn't that interesting? Jesus told us that we are to be salty. Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. And as a believer this morning, you and I are to be drawing people into the kingdom of God, and our very life that we live should be one that is salty. Now, salt, if you get it splashed in your eye, hurts very, very badly. Salt is great when it's put on your eggs. Salt, when it's put into a wound, does extreme pain, but also a tremendous amount of good. Jesus said, if we as a church begin to lose our saltiness, we become absolutely worthless to the kingdom, and we are set aside and neglected because we are no longer effective in the kingdom. So we need to realize that if you're a Christian this morning, you are also called to be a fisher of men. And that means that your conduct, that my conduct, is to be one that makes people thirsty. The Bible tells us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Very important. Last night when we addressed the graduate students at the Bible college last night, we made the challenge to them that are you now able to go into the world and affect the world rather than going into the world and having the world affect you? You have been rooted, schooled, and grounded now with the best teaching that money could buy. And now are you ready to go into the world? Well, they're going into the world to minister if they like it or not because they're graduating. And you and I, every day as believers, are graduating daily for the kingdom of God. Listen, I want to also tell you that we're going to cover a great part of Scripture, and we're going to skim over some verses, which is very unusual for this fellowship. We don't usually do that. But because of the nature of Stephen's message, we're going to need to do that. So take good notes today. And I also want you to keep in mind that what I'm going to be sharing with you, I prayed about and examined in my own life about how the Lord uses the message with Stephen for us to be witnesses. And I'm going to basically be teaching you things that the Lord has taught and is teaching me based upon working where I used to work. You know, sometimes working in a church can be one of the most boring places in all the world. I want some drug addicts to walk in the front door. I want some power brokers to walk into the front door. I want some people who are broken and hurt to walk into the front door because I want to evangelize them. I miss being out there in the world like you are. Tomorrow you'll go to your job. Tomorrow you will be the witness for Christ. And I, to be honest with you, am jealous of where you're going. I wish I could jump in your lunchbox and go with you because I love that kind of a world. Jesus is there in a very powerful and unique way. And I want to encourage you, there's a spiritual law that God has established in our lives, and it's this, very simple, that where you are planted, that is where you are to grow. And there may be a discontented heart right now, and during the summer months, there's got to be a few. I made mention of it Saturday in the leadership meeting as we got together. I am being inundated with comments from people that are just now coming back from vacation. And oh, I feel the Lord's calling us away. Well, that's good if He's calling you away to minister in the Yosemite Valley. That's great. Praise the Lord. They need the gospel. But make sure it's Jesus calling you away and not your desire. Yes, I have felt that call. I, too, feel that there are times when the Lord's calling me to Maui. And doggone it, if I would just not pray about it, I would be in Maui by now. But when I pray, the Lord says, listen, you grow where you're planted. Godliness with contentment's great gain, so be quiet and do what I've given you to do. Just grow where you're planted. And if God's moving you out tomorrow, then just grow now. And remember this, those of you who feel the call to go, the wild call of nature and all, listen to this, that make sure it's the Lord calling you. And you'll know if God's calling you because he will never move you to a spiritual detriment. He will never move you to a spiritual downsizing. If God calls you to the shores of Maui, it will be because it is the next step of growth for you. You'll never go down when God's leading. Keep that in mind. Daniel 12, verse 3 tells us, those who shall shine, or those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who turn many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever. That's a great verse on evangelism. We are to be a witnessing church. And so this morning we're going to look at some of the 7 points that I feel are strong that we need to take note of to be an effective witnessing church. And don't think this morning that this message does not incorporate you. Because if you're not witnessing, then this church cannot witness. Don't look at the guy or the gal next to you and say, well, I hope she does her part because I'm not going to do mine. You got to do your part. Because, you know, there's people dying today. There's people going into a Christless eternity today and they need the Word of God. If you doubt that, visit a hospital. Go to USC and see the people that are dying and you can watch them die. They need Jesus. And I'm convinced in the day and age in which we live, there's no greater opportunity than to share Christ now because people are so hurt and need so much help. Number one, jot this down in your notes. The power of a witnessing church. What is the power of the witnessing church? Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 9 and 10, we'll see the power of a witnessing church. It says there in the patriarchs, as Stephen continues to deliver his message, became envious of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. But God was with him. God was with Joseph. That's the power. The Lord has promised you and I that I will never leave you or forsake you. That's God's promise. God was with Joseph. Keep this in mind all the way through. Stephen is speaking to the 70-member council. When he gets done delivering this message on your lap, they're going to kill him for it. And he is just now, in his message that we've been studying the last couple of weeks, he's setting them up. And he's going to, by the end of verse 37, deliver a bombshell that's going to cause them to start searching for stones. He mentions Joseph, the patriarch. And oh, did their robes, like last week, puff up. Yes, Joseph, our patriarch, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and all. And yes, oh, Joseph. They love him. But Stephen is trying to get them to consider Joseph. Number one, Joseph was forsaken by his brothers. He was rejected. Joseph was sold into the land of Egypt. God nurtured him. God brought him up. But the power with Joseph is that God was with him. Now, remember this. He was very, and those of you who went through Genesis with us, you know this in great detail. Joseph, in going into Egypt, was very exotic. His skin color was different. The Bible says he was extremely handsome and well-built. He was very sharp. When he was brought in, eventually he came to that place of power, which meant he had an extremely clean-shaven face, as the Egyptians had. He had gold. He had the tapestry. Some of their robes were silver and gold, literally the metals that were wound into thread. And they wore robes of gold. Well, prior to that, he had a powerful position also with Potiphar. And it says that his wife casted longing eyes at him daily. And I don't know what that is, but I see these eyelashes that are about 3 feet long. You know, and she's, and it says that she casted these eyes at him. Joseph, Joseph. And she was a real subtle woman. She came up to him and said, I want you to lie with me. And he said, you know, I think I need to step out for fresh air. He ran. He took off. And in doing so, she grabbed his clothes and he ran naked. He didn't really run naked. He probably ran with his loincloth on. It looks like a sumo wrestler thing, you know. And he took off. And she said, you know, she was obviously scorned. And she says, rape, rape. Really, she didn't say it that. She said, rape, rape. He's ripped me off. Because she was burned. Joseph was taken into prison. Now, I don't know about you and I, but I would start thinking, now maybe God has forgotten me. The power of God is God with you, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He has deposited the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus said in John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, or it is to your advancement or betterment that I go away.
For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Can you imagine Jesus saying, it's better for you that I go away? And that's exactly what he said. Because the Holy Spirit was to come and empower our witnessing. He is our power. The Holy Spirit is our power. John 14:26. The scripture says, but the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, number one, he will teach you all things. Number two, he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have taught you. And I'm grateful for that. I got on this kick a little while ago. I was reading a newspaper where they don't want us to use antiperspirant anymore because they think it brings on Alzheimer's disease. And you know, that's, you'll start losing your memory. My memory is part of my call. I need to remember things all the time. So I started to basically panic. And I said, honey, no more antiperspirant in this house. It's deodorant for us. Well, you know, that's great until, like, you know, you're like a walking sprinkler system. You know, I was just soaking wet all the time. But I needed to remember, and I didn't want these chemicals to get into my brain and goof up my remembrance. And I got so weirded out about it, you know. And then I got tired of changing my clothes, so I figured, you know what, I'm going to buy antiperspirant, trust in the Lord to bring all things to my remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring things to remembrance. Many of you are on the streets with us on Saturday night sharing the gospel, and the Holy Spirit's bringing things out that you forgot. He's using them. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about it. You just read your Bible, and he'll bring it back up when you need it. The Holy Spirit is our instructor. John 16:12. John 16:12. He's our instructor. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them now. This is very encouraging, by the way. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, by the way, he's not an it, he is a he. Jesus said so. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Isn't that awesome? That the Holy Spirit will put within you things Jesus wants to have said, that he once said. In John 7:37, Jesus said concerning the power of a witness and of a witnessing church, he cried out and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come after me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his koileia, the word in the Greek is koileia. It's where we get the English word colon. Out of his innermost vital parts shall flow rivers of living water, Jesus said. But it says also that this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing had not yet received because he was not yet glorified. Isn't that amazing? If you are going to be a successful witness in your job, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your church, you need to have the Holy Spirit flowing through your most vital parts. Out of the innermost depths of your being, is there a river of living water? It's a paradox. Jesus tells us we are the salt of the earth. We're to make people salty, but once they're salty, out of you flow the rivers of living water, the Word of God. You are able to quench their thirst by giving them the Word of God. Aren't you amazing? You are so precious in God's sight. You walk around, you're a salt factory. And how you present yourself either stings some hearts because they don't want to hear it, or you heal some hearts because they need Christ. And the moment you give them a salty message, God is also giving you the power of the Holy Spirit that you can give them the drink that will never end. And that, to me, is exciting that he would do that. Second point is the patience of a witnessing church. The patience of a witnessing church in verses 11 to 16. Stephen, preaching to these guys, says, now a famine and a great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, remember his son Joseph is there, he doesn't know it, he sent out our fathers first. Verse 13, and the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became or came known to the Pharaoh in Egypt. Listen to this. from the command to Abraham that he gave last week to the promised land, there had been some 400 years that have gone by now. Joseph's in Egypt. 400 years. We need to be patient. It says in verse 13 that they recognized Joseph only the second time. Remember Genesis. The first time that the children of Israel came before Joseph, they didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. But the second time they come, they do receive him. What is Stephen doing? He's setting up these guys to get them into his sights, to get them to come to Christ, but he knows that they need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about their patriarchs. Oh, we love Joseph. Oh, we love Jacob. Well, check this out. We need to be patient as he was patient. Joseph is a type of Christ, and that's where he's going with this message. Mark this down. Either get the tape later or jot it down quickly. Joseph is a type of Christ. Listen to this. Joseph was greatly beloved of his father. So was Jesus. Joseph was sold by his brothers for silver, the going rate of a slave at that time. So was Jesus. He was hated by his brothers. So was Jesus. He was envied by his brothers. Jesus was envied by the religious hierarchy. Couldn't stand them. Jesus and Joseph were both accused falsely. Joseph made his place to honor, so did Jesus in the resurrection. Joseph was not recognized at his brother's first coming, neither was Jesus. The Bible says that Israel did not receive him. In fact, Jesus wept over the fact that they didn't recognize him. And I find this extremely interesting. Note takers, you ought to jot this down. This is fun. While Joseph was being rejected by his brethren, and while he was in glory in Egypt, he took to himself a Gentile bride. While Jesus is in glory, and as Israel at this time has rejected him, he will take any moment now, hopefully by the time we get to the third point, will come and take his bride, a Gentile, to himself, as the scripture declares. The insinuation by Stephen here is that the patriarchs treated Joseph the same way they had treated Jesus Christ. And they're going to see that by the end of his message. And by the way, I want you to be encouraged. When you share Jesus Christ, I want you to be patient. You're not always going to see a response. In fact, Paul the Apostle told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I plant, Apollos waters, but it's God who gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, remember that, the guy who does the planting is no big deal. And the guy who does the watering is no big deal. But it's God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Cheer up, you guys. Have you been watering? Have you been planting and nothing's happened? Cheer up. Maybe your call is to be a waterer. Maybe your call is to be a planter, a Johnny Appleseed, spiritually speaking. But know this, you might water. You may have shared with 1,000 people in your lifetime, and not one of them have come to Christ, and you might think that you don't have the gift of sharing Christ with people. I beg to differ with you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 3. Thanks for listening. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and God's Word, we're giving God a witness for Christ to the world. A Witnessing Church, Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.